Lucian. Oh, there's a few hands. Something to share with everyone or not? Learning Spanish again. Okay, anyone else? Eat healthy food. Okay, anyone else? Okay, not many of you made New Year's resolutions. Why not? That's the question. What do you think? Say again? The kids haven't gone back to school yet. I mean, I'm wondering whether it's because they don't often work. Yeah, a few people are nodding their heads. I mean, the idea of a New Year's resolution is if I could eat healthier, if I could get fitter, if I could be thinner, then I would change. Yeah. But they're hard to keep. And even if you manage to keep them for a while, often they're not. You can't sustain the change. So we can only achieve so much change by our own willpower and determination. We often fail, or if we succeed, it's not lasting. Now, if you're a Christian, changing and growing is not an optional extra. It's the sign of a faith that's alive, because healthy things grow. Now, we spent a lot of time last year talking about this as a church family, because the Lord laid on our hearts as leaders the theme of discipleship. So we looked at it in our weekend away. We had Sunday morning talks about it. So it seems really right that while the rest of the world in January are going dry or joining gyms or downloading the Couch to 5K app, trying to change, that the people of God do something differently. So what we do here is we delay the start of the new term, and we don't rush into all our activities. And what we do instead is we turn our eyes to the one who we believe can bring lasting, deep, real change. And that's what the week of prayer and fasting is about, and it starts today. Now, a year ago today, Darren spoke from Matthew chapter 4. And he spoke on fasting, and his title was Making Space for God. Now, if you want to learn more about fasting, listen to his talk. It's on the website, and you can listen to it from there. I'm just going to give you some headlines about fasting before we get into our text for this morning. Fasting is not Christian dieting. Okay, the purpose of dieting is to lose weight, but the purpose of fasting is to get more of Christ. So fasting usually means giving up food or certain types of food, but it might mean giving up something else precious to you, like screens or alcohol or your phone. Coffee, thank you, Casper, yes. So it's something to do that we're invited to do as Christians, to make space for God. And so feeling hungry and choosing not to eat, or wanting something very much and choosing not to satisfy that desire, helps us to take some control over the things that drive us. It's a bit like saying to God, right now, I want what you have for me more than I want to eat. Or I want what you have for me more than I want to play that game or watch that screen. So doing this can lead to a deeper hunger for things of God and for his kingdom. And it helps us to focus. It helps us to hear from God, and it helps us to pray in the Spirit in a way that can sometimes bring real breakthrough. Now, Jesus fasted, his followers fasted, and the invitation to us at the Good Shepherd Mission is to do it too. There's real blessing in fasting. It can be hard, but create the space and the Lord will fill it. He will change us. Because the Word of God tells us that real growth and transformation is a supernatural thing that requires a supernatural method. So we pray, we fast, we praise, we study his Word, we fellowship together, and in it all we're asking the Lord to grow us. There we go. Can we hit the lights so that it's a bit easier to see the slides? And we're asking God to grow us because it's God that makes things grow. Is it too dark now for you to see your Bibles? What should we do? Press on in the dark? Yeah? Okay. So it's God who makes things grow. Now look, every farmer knows this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says about the gospel, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. It follows then that if we want to see growth and change, we should ask God, grow us. So turn to our passage this morning, which is in Colossians. It's chapter 1. I have no idea what the page is. Can someone shout it out? 1117. 1117. And Malcolm's going to read it to us.
So it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 on 1117. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all his people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true word of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
So Paul is praying for his friends and we get to listen in. There's so much to learn from this passage about how to pray and how to grow. Now, gospel growth is unstoppable. Paul says a church was planted in Colossae because Epaphras, who's mentioned in verse 7, told a bunch of people who had never heard about Jesus. And they believed his message. Seeds of faith were planted that the Lord began to grow. And we see in verse 6 that the same thing was happening throughout the whole world. It says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. So that was certainly true at the start of Christianity when Paul was writing. The message of Jesus spread really quickly as his followers traveled and were scattered, making disciples wherever they went. So what Paul's doing is he's setting the scene. Before he starts to pray specific things for his friends, he's saying, look, you need to know there's this whole amazing thing going on around the world. You're a part of it, but it's much, much bigger than you. It's a worldwide thing. It's massive. The gospel is going out into the whole world and it's growing. Okay, so that was 2,000 years ago. What about now? Isn't church attendance decreasing? Isn't the world getting more and more secular, not more and more Christian? Well, we've got some stuff in the entrance hall about this, so I'm going to give you some headlines. Since the church began, and up until about 100 years ago, 2/3 of all the Christians in the world lived in Europe. But in the last 100 years, the gospel has truly grown throughout the rest of the world. So now, more than a third of Christians are in the Americas. About one in every four Christians lives in sub-Saharan Africa. And about one in eight is found in Asia and the Pacific region. And in that time of 100 years, from 1910 to 2010, the number of Christians has increased from 600 million to 2 billion. So the gospel is still bearing fruit and growing throughout the world because God is making it grow. And this God who makes things grow, we should remember who he actually is. He's the creator God who spoke and the whole universe came into being. Now you may have seen in the news at the end of last year about Voyager 2. I know some of you don't like space, but just bear with me for a minute. Now Voyager 2 is a spacecraft that left Earth in September 1977 when I was six. It was moving and is moving very fast, about 34,000 miles an hour. And in November last year, 2018, it finally left our solar system 41 years after it was launched. Now our solar system is only part of the Milky Way galaxy, which is only one of perhaps 100 billion galaxies in the known universe. It's crazy, okay? Like, I think most of us can't get our heads around how vast the universe is. And Psalm 33 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." So the God who created the universe, he breathed and he spoke, and out of nothing came 100 billion galaxies. Now this is the one who is making his gospel grow and bear fruit around the world. Do you think anyone or anything can stop what he has planned to do? No. Amen. So then you might ask, well, why should I pray? Because if he's decided anyway, what difference does it make if I pray? Well, that's a really good question. I'm going to try and answer it. Not perfectly. When God created the universe, he made things to be a certain way. Now, science describes the laws that govern the way the physical world works. So I'll give you some examples. If you eat and drink more at Christmas than you burn off in calories, you will put on weight. Okay, that's science. In the same way, if my phone falls out of my pocket when I'm above a toilet, gravity means that it will fall into the toilet. That's the way that God has made the physical world to work. Now, in the same way, in the unseen world, things work a certain way. And we know about how things work because God tells us about it in his word. The Bible tells us that God is sovereign. He has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over everything. He does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth. Yet, we are also told to pray because our prayers make a difference. And there's a story in the Old Testament of a severe drought that devastated crops and brought famine for the people of God for about 3 years. And then God tells the prophet Elijah, "I will send rain on the land." But before he sends the rain, Elijah has to pray. And not just like a quick prayer, "Lord, send some rain." No, like he has to pray on his knees on a mountain for 7 rounds. Proper, serious praying. Now God will do what he's going to do, but he will do it in partnership with us. Through our prayers, through our asking for the things that he's shown us to ask for. Like Elijah asking for rain after God has already said it's going to rain. And Paul, who wrote our passage this morning, he knew the scriptures. He knew this story. He knew he was praying to a sovereign God who had made prayer one of the ways that he works things out in the unseen world. And Paul had learned what to ask for because he'd learned what God loves and he'd learned what God hates. Paul knew how weak and powerless we really are, but he knew there was absolute power in the name of Jesus. And I'm sure that Paul, like us, had also had to learn that we don't always get the answers to our prayers that we'd hoped for. And in the place of disappointment and confusion and hurt, we learn about surrender and submission and trust. So in our text this morning, Paul prays for people because he knows that his prayers make a difference. So much so, he prays continually. Look at verse 9. And he prays for this reason. What reason? Well, because he can already see what God is doing in this group of people. Look, he says in verse 6, I can see that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing in you. And in verse 4 and 5, I can see the hope that you have in Christ that has led to acts of faith and love. So Paul and Timothy are thankful for what they have seen and praying for this, what is yet to come. That's why it says we, not I, because it's from the letters from Paul and Timothy together. These first six verses fit us here at GSM well, I think. Let's stop for a moment and look around. I really mean, like, look at people. Look at the people in the room right now. What do you see? Well, I'll tell you what I see. I see faith. I see growth. Okay? I see people who are bearing fruit. I see it in the context of an unstoppable God who's growing his gospel throughout the whole world. Be encouraged. So we come to the second part of this passage. Now, when you last prayed for someone, what did you pray? It's a rhetorical question, I don't want you to answer it. But I've been really challenged by this passage because Paul prays for deep stuff. He goes to the heart of the matter for his Christian friends. So verse 9 shows us that Paul's main prayer is that they would know the will of God. That this is the most important thing. Know the will of God so you can do it. Now we might think that prayer is about God listening to us. But actually we must learn to listen to him. And this starts by listening to what he is saying in his word. Then we can know what the Lord wants us to do. I don't know about you, but how much time have I spent praying, telling God what he should do, what I think he should do? This passage shows us the absolute priority before anything else is that we find out what he wants us to do. And Paul prays for them to have the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives in verse 9. Now the word wisdom apparently in the Greek means knowledge of first principles. And the word understanding conveys the idea of critical knowledge or applied knowledge. So Paul's saying you need to know it and then you need to apply it to your lives. And knowing what God wants and doing it will lead to a life worthy of the Lord. A life that really pleases God. And what follows then in the text is a list of things that Paul says will really please the Lord. Here are the things. So being fruitful in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. These are the things that please God. Now I'm not going to dwell on these this morning because this whole building is about this text. We're going to give you the opportunity to go and have a wander around and to think about those different things by going to the different rooms about each verse. But I will tell you how studying this prayer in Colossians has changed the way that I've been praying in recent weeks. Let's say I know someone who's in a difficult situation and I want to pray for them. My natural way of praying would be to pray for their suffering to end. I can see that if the problem could just be sorted out, things would be easier. Life would be better, I think, for them. So I pray for God to intervene and to bring change. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for those things. It's the cry of our hearts, isn't it, to a Father in heaven who loves us. Lord, make it right. Yeah? Save us. Help us. Change it. But I am challenged now to also pray that that person would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in their struggle, that they would live a life worthy of the Lord, whether or not their suffering ends, and that they would please the Lord in every way, and that his Spirit would give them power to endure and to be patient. Now, this is called praying the Bible, and it's one really helpful way to pray. If you've never tried it before, try it this week. The passage ends with a triumphant reminder of who we actually are in Christ. Once we were imprisoned, we were lost in the dominion of darkness, we were slaves to our flesh, we couldn't save ourselves, but God has rescued us. And instead of giving us the punishment for our evil that we deserved, he made a way for us to come into his kingdom, the kingdom of his Son, Jesus. He qualified us to share in an amazing inheritance. We are redeemed. We are forgiven, verse 14. Or put another way, we have a new nature because of the gospel seed that was planted in us, which is where we started at the beginning of the talk. I want to take this plant growth idea a bit further and use trees as a picture of our growth. The Bible does this as well. We'll come to that in a minute. The passage starts with the Lord reminding us, you are not an isolated, stand-alone tree. The Good Shepherd Mission is not an isolated tree. And you, as a believer, you're not a stand-alone, isolated tree. You are planted in a worldwide forest. The gospel is growing and bearing fruit around the world. And it's growing because God, who made the whole universe, is making it grow. So picture like this, a massive forest that spreads in every direction as far as the eye can see. Now, if you were walking around on the ground in this forest, what would you actually see? Well, I think you'd see trees of all different kinds, shapes, sizes, and maturity. So some would be tiny new trees, and some would be big, mature, strong trees. And that's really just like a church family like ours. So some of us are just starting out as Christians, and some of us have been growing and maturing, hopefully, for many years. Now, some of these trees in the picture are oak trees. How does an oak tree start out in life? An acorn, right. Now, I'm going to show you now, just because someone might listen to this on the recording, we're going to show a video and I'm going to just say what is going on, because otherwise they're going to have a minute and a bit of weirdness with nothing on it. So let's watch how an acorn turns into a tree. Hopefully. Thank you. conditions, a healthy, tiny tree like that will keep growing until it reaches its full potential. And it could grow into an incredibly strong tree. Now, these are some oak trees nearer to home from Victoria Park. That's Richard for scale provided. So it might be now a good time to remember what the Bible says about oak trees. In Isaiah 61, the Lord says, "They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Who is it that will be called oaks of righteousness? Well, if you know that passage, you'll know that it's the poor who receive the good news. It's the brokenhearted who were healed. It's the captives who were freed. It's the prisoners who were released from darkness. Friends, this is us. Okay, we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness, brought into his kingdom, and planted by the Lord to be an oak of righteousness, to display his splendor. In other words, to show off how good he is at growing us and transforming us. So you might be thinking right now, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel much like an oak of righteousness. Don't even feel like I'm growing. You might be feeling like you're stuck as a little oak tree sprout, or you might even feel like you're going backwards. Or you might be thinking about people who call themselves Christians, but they don't seem to be changing or growing. Well, have a look back at the text, because there might be an answer here about this. What's interesting is that Paul uses the word true or truly twice. He talks about the true message of the gospel in verse 5, which implies that there's also a false gospel message. And he talks about them truly understanding the grace of God, which implies that you may not have understood the grace of God. So if you aren't growing, are you sure that you've understood the true gospel? The gospel that says that you're saved only through the gift of Jesus, not through anything that you've done or could ever do. And have you realized that to grow, you have to do some stuff too? It doesn't just happen. Because the same Paul, writing to some other friends in Philippi, says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So if you've understood and received the gospel, but you don't read the Bible, or you don't pray, or you don't gather with other Christians, then you won't grow. That's the way things work. But if you spend time delighting in God, as Psalm 1 says, you will grow into a strong, healthy, fruitful tree. So, in closing, how are you doing with all of this at the start of 2019? Perhaps you're not a Christian. Are you ready to say yes to the seed of faith that the Lord wants to put in you, that will save you and change your life forever? Perhaps you are a believer, but you're not feeling like getting involved with the week of prayer and fasting. You're far too busy. Is it that? Or is it that you've lost confidence that prayer really makes any difference? Too many disappointments, perhaps? Some of us might be feeling anxious about 2019, unsure of where the Lord is or what is he doing in our nation, in Europe, in the world, in our lives, perhaps in your ministry, in your family. We need to hear at the start of another year that through our prayers, the God who created the universe out of nothing is working out his purpose. The gospel is growing all around the the world and it's unstoppable. He is very good at everything he does. In fact, he does all things perfectly. He will finish what he started. And perhaps you need some encouragement to keep working with the Lord, to grow yourself in the faith. Whether you're a tiny acorn just sprouting or a tree already quite tall, there is more for you. There's more knowing his will. There's more fruitfulness in his service. There's more knowledge of the Lord. There's more power in the Spirit to endure and be patient. There's more joy. There's more thankfulness. There's more. There's so much more for us. And as we meet with others to pray this week, will the truths in this passage change the way that we pray? I hope so. So, people of the Good Shepherd Mission, let's begin 2019 very sure of who we are. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are saints in the kingdom of light. We've been rescued from the dominion of darkness, and every sin, every stain, every offence against our holy God has been forgiven completely. We have full redemption, as Paul says. We are free. We're free to grow, and we're free to live lives that please the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask together as your people this morning that you would fill us with a knowledge of your will, with all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Lord, we want to live lives that are worthy of you, and we want to bring you pleasure. So take us, Lord, meet each one of us where we're at, and grow us, we pray, in Jesus' name.